Hey guys, everybody. So today is January 14th, 2021. It is a Thursday. We are recording live and we are recording on the podcast as well on the Anchor platform and all the other, I don't know, 14 platforms
yeah,
that we've had
all
already.
Yeah, all systems to go. We are charged.
Fully charged, yeah. What you guys want to talk about today? We had a couple of topics. I think it's been kind of crazy with all the Trump news. Obviously, we've learned that he has been impeached, which is great. So, yay. And we also are happy that, even though it took this long, it's still a win for the Democrats. And the GOP is going to be really messed up for a long time. But I think either way, it's a win.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, right? Didn't we watch a little bit of the impeachment? You know, we heard some of the counter arguments, which I just think, it just at this point in time, based on what you saw, I mean, if you saw some of those videos or whatever, it just seemed absurd. I think the idea...
It was a long time coming. I mean, it should have been impeached the first time, and he wasn't
convicted.
And
that was some of their argument that just seemed like it was a hunt. But you have to understand what we saw and what we witnessed. And, in a lot of other places, and I think we already mentioned this, right? The punishment or the outcome would be much, much more severe than so far than what we have seen.
Mm.
Impeachment, I think, is... Yeah.
The way to go. Yeah. I mean, that's calling it lightly. If we can't kill him, if this was England,
we would kill him. He can't run for, again, a political office, a federal office again. And then you put that in combination with the fact that now that he's been, sounds like, pretty much silenced from most of the major social media platforms. And, that should hopefully take the wind out of his sails. And I think, but there's more to it than just him. And I hope we understand that it's not just him.
No.
He is somebody that seized power and latched on to this disenfranchised group that we have long known has existed here. And with this current president felt emboldened to be able to make their presence felt that, the America that they want is the one within reach, the one where he is the president to exist. And, I think that's scary. Hopefully we've learned our lessons and we can come together and understand that, hopefully we keep marching forward, right? With, especially to social justice, understanding that we have, still long ways to go with regards to that. Especially anything you witnessed on January 6th.
Yeah.
It just boggles my mind the way that they were treated. I don't know, and then in the preceding days after, right, then you saw all these pictures, right, of some of these peaceful protests. I think somebody had posted a picture of Congressman, John Robert Lewis, one of these great social justice warriors here, getting arrested by the police after a peaceful protest, and it just, stark contrast to what we saw on January 6th.
I mean, I know that our friend of ours told us, he's been impeached, and I said, okay, well, I still want to watch the impeachment process go down, and I think it did take up a few hours of our day yesterday. But I kind of wanted to see what some of them had to say, and I know that they're only given a platform of 1 to 4 minutes to go up and say what their vote is, why they want him to be impeached or not impeached. And some of them were great. Some of their reasons really fit with the things that I thought about him and the terrible job he's done, in my opinion, in the last 4 years, and that not only now should he be accounted for this, but he should have been accounted for a lot of the things that he's said and done for the last 4 years. But then the people that were wanting him to be saved were like coming up with those dumbest reasons. And then we are the greatest country ever. We discovered landing on the moon. And I'm like, the Russians beat us to that, man.
Yeah, we discussed that again. It's not like I was surprised to hear that there was going to be a counter argument, but to me, there were been more appropriate counter arguments, and instead, what you heard was just dribble, and it just came across like that is, I mean, laughable. I mean, their arguments were laughable. The one gentleman from California that said if they had prosecuted people in the Black Lives Matter protest earlier this summer, then what happened on January 6th would not have occurred. I mean, that alone, that guy should be removed. I mean, get out of here.
The fact that they've been able to still stand by this for so long and still try to protect him. And then he was throwing Pence under the bus, saying that, like, you know, basically letting these rioters come and build a noose to kill him, and they were chanting to kill him.
Oh, I mean, we and mentioned he just stood, this, right?
Someone said that there was a congresswoman that said that she saw Trump, or someone, I don't know if it's Pelosi or another congresswoman, but they said that, like, they have been trying to contact him to come out and, like, say something. And he just stood there, like, watching on the TV, watching it all.
Well, that was the, like, the doing nothing. There, those that were close to him, those that were in the White House, you know, begged with him. You know, those that were in the Capitol, this was occurring, begged with him, you know, tweet, go on live TV.
And now more details have come out that people are getting arrested, people are not being able to fly back to their homes now because they're on the no-fly list.
Yeah,
which
they've been...
Only 1,000 of the no-fly list people are Americans, but I'm sure that will be more now because there's 80,000 on the no-fly list. Some of them are peaceful Muslims that didn't commit any crimes, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah,
we're not talking about
argument.
That. But I think it's going to rise in numbers.
I think it's
going to
rise.
Yeah.
We've already seen where some, and although some was due to their mask wearing, but some not. Some are because they have been identified as being at the protest, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did go ahead and have done due to facial recognition and have said, you know what, you are a domestic terrorist, and they have put them on the no-fly list.
Yeah, and I've actually seen video of, like, people complaining and, like, freaking out. And one guy even had the gall to say, you're treating me like a black person, because he was getting arrested. Like, he was literally on the ground getting arrested. And this one girl was crying, and then people are just mad because they're saying, oh, you're taking away our civil liberties. Liberty is not, flying is not a liberty. It's not a right. It's a privilege.
Yeah,
you,
there's a few groups that could, that may have, you know, maybe something to say ahead of you.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's, I just think that when you are committing a crime against your country, you think that that's what's American and patriotic, then you're a terrorist. Like, that's what they consider you as. You're going against,
they were nothing.
You are
lost.
Storming
there
into
was...
a Capitol building, not a Target, not a Walmart.
Yeah,
you're
not that
they don't matter, but, like,
there's a term for it. It's called sedition. That's what it is when you, you know, attack federal property.
Yeah, and because we can't kill Trump, we have to impeach him. I mean, if this was truly England, we would have to kill him. He would be beheaded. For sure.
Yeah, I don't know about England.
What?
But there would be other countries where that may occur.
So have you heard of Mary's Queen of Scots? They killed her.
I don't know.
Anne Boleyn, they killed her.
I don't think
it was ever men that got beheaded, was it? Now that I'm thinking about it, it's all female.
I mean, we had the Salem witch trials here, but we've advanced. And I'm not saying that's what would occur.
All I'm
here.
Saying, though, is, and also, I didn't even think about this. If you shouldn't even be flying. Okay, for the Trump supporters that are watching this video, because I know I have some of my friends listening, I told you before in the past that I do that because I want to have healthy arguments with them and see what their point of view is and see if we can find any common ground, which sometimes there is on other topics. But if you guys are listening, just know, like, you are with a swarm of people, 25,000 people in one spot, some of you not wearing masks. So why should you get on a plane? Even if, let's just, like, put the whole Trump thing aside and the terrorist thing aside. You were exposed to all these people for hours and hours. I don't know how long they were there.
Yeah, I told you there are now.
And then you try to fly home. Like,
of Congress members now coming up positive for COVID.
Yeah.
Because they now believe that they probably yeah, were exposed there due to the fact of the people coming in that were not wearing masks. And
yeah, it's just a, yeah.
It's a horrible, I mean, just a, again, and, you know, the other thing too to note, it, you know, the fact that in all seriousness, you know, six people have lost their lives due to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a U.S. Capitol police officer that was murdered. There was another officer that took their life thereafter. I mean,
yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, someone took their life after that? Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's so a total of six have since perished, including some of those rioters, you know, that were there. And again, you know, very few people, at least, you know, especially Trump-wise, refuses to acknowledge that. I mean, he has not acknowledged any of those lives that were lost yet.
Wow. I mean, and the fact of the matter is, I did say that on my Facebook a few days ago. I said that some of those people at that riot, you know, at the Capitol, they don't care about police officers. They, unless it fits into their agenda of white supremacy and whatever. I mean, Blue Lives Matter came as a pushback for Black Lives Matter. It was never like a thing. Black Lives Matter happened because of Trayvon Martin and because of all the other black people who have been murdered by police and wrongfully accused or even wrongfully arrested. And I think the Blue Lives Matter happened as a pushback. And some of these people don't care. I mean, they killed an officer. And I think that's I think that's another reason why the police didn't do anything. Because I think they were honestly terrified of them. I think they were. I think they're told to do that at peaceful rallies, at Black Lives Matter rallies, are told to be, oh, we have to really, like, you know, make sure they don't try anything. But, I mean, who doesn't say that you're not, that they're not scared of these people? I mean, there are tons of them everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't think that they weren't scared, at least a little bit?
Well, those that came inside, I mean, like I said, some of the video and the pictures just look horrific. You know, beating down windows, pepper spraying.
Imagine all the damage that's there
right
now. I mean,
it looks like numbers of, you know, one on one versus five. I mean, it would have been, to me, it would have been terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, people had to hide under their desks.
But to their credit, they stood up. I mean, those that were, again, severely outnumbered, they held their ground for the most part. And, mm-hmm. you know, until more reinforcements came.
Yeah. Like, and I know that people are upset about the police not doing anything. And if they were black people, that they would be, it would be worse. And I don't think that, I think because it was planned, I think the police that were there, like you said, they were probably in on it. Some of them were in on it, or Capitol
fine,
Police,
again,
or Trump.
Something like
Trump
this
was
doesn't just happen because happenstance by luck. It wasn't chance that kind of number, I think, was able to storm the castle. That
yeah.
They're going to find that there were ways in, that there were leaks, that there were holes, and that, you know, I think it would lead to probably, I would think, to look like probably an inside job. I mean, you look at the number of elected officials
mm-hmm.
that they have already identified that were part of those that stormed the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, it's just astounding. I mean, what was the end game of some of these people, too? I mean, we've seen, you know, the guy with the zip ties. We've seen the noose that was outside. I mean, we've seen some of the handwritten notes and
like I said,
some of the people that were already arrested with the amount of ammunition that they supposedly had. I mean, it's like, sorry, they were not there to just stand outside with, again, you know, poster board and permanent marker. I mean, they were there.
Yeah, they had semi-automatics, and they had rifles, and they had, I mean,
pipe bombs.
And I think the people that were there, like, there's this one girl I follow. I actually am going to share her video and the link on this video. But there's a video.
Sure,
she's
away.
she's actually from Canada, and she started
Canada.
Doing her videos.
No.
And, like, most of them is just, like, I wouldn't say making fun of America, but, like, a lot of it is about politics and psychology. And she was just saying that, you know, the people that were there, the pictures that she was showing were people wearing Camp Auschwitz and, like, Nazi, you know, propaganda and, like, they're wearing stuff that was, like...
Well, I mean...
And she said that, you know, some of these people wanted to feel so oppressed. Like, they wanted to feel like it's their time to feel, like, You know, and that mixed with that, also other you know, Trump supporters, you know, that had different analogies.
Those people are the people that believe that, you know, the Holocaust wasn't as bad as what, I mean, it's just disgusting, but it does bring in the question and the argument, you know, everything is protected under the First Amendment. Should everything be protected under the First Amendment? Even when it's, you know, atrocious, like horrible things like that of denying that the Holocaust ever happened.
Well, and like I was going to say,
that it was, you know, it really wasn't that bad, that there were swimming pools and there were fun activities, and you know, it really was more like kind of a day at the beach, and it really wasn't, I mean, there are those stories out there. I mean, are you kidding me?
What I was going to say was that they wanted to feel so oppressed that they just felt like, you know, they didn't want their president to be taken away. But they're also, it's those people, and then it's the people who maybe aren't like that, but they just don't understand that Trump, they don't understand how an election works. And like, they don't understand that Trump is a person. He's a human. He's not a god. He's not a celebrity. I don't care what people say.
But there are nut jobs.
And they're still going to love him even after he's done being president. They're going to follow his ass to Florida and wash his feet forever.
I mean, he is...
So it's a mix of that. It's a mix of people who are just really, really racist. And then there's people who are just like love him and think that he's great. And but
you mentioned, again, speaking of him,
that's all we ever talk about.
You know, there are a lot of stories now of, I would say, all kinds of sponsorship and people abandoning, you know, this Trump chip, whether it's him personally as president or the company that he has started. And I think you've got something on that, right? Because he has, you know, he's famous for his properties having his name on it, right? Big name on it. Got to have your name on it. Nobody can tell if that's your property. I mean, how narcissistic do you have to be? But
well, this is from the Sun Times, and I don't really go with the Sun Times too much because it's the Sun Times. It's not like the biggest source.
Like a lot of local.
Yeah.
We still though rely on the local.
But this is about the alderman who wants a massive Trump Tower sign along Chicago River to come down. So it's the alderman Gilbert Villegas. I'm probably saying his name wrong. He plans to introduce an ordinance forcing the removal of 2,891 square foot sign on the 96-story Trump International Hotel and Tower if Trump is convicted of treason, sedition, or subversive activities. I think it should just be taken out anyway. But, yeah, I agree with that. I think that that would be... Because then it's like, what will happen after... It's taken down. Why would you want to keep it up?
There was already a major push initially when it was announced that he was going to get to be able to put his sign up because, you know, nobody else has been able to do that, and it ruins that eyesight, but he was able to do it. Sure, this isn't going to be the only city here where you might see this potential question pop up is the removal of his name, but I know it's not surprising here. Like I said, there was already pushback.
Well, here, this says Alderman Gilbert Bias. He's the 36th Alderman. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, City Council floor leader, plans to introduce an ordinance at the January 27th City Council meeting that would force the issue 7 years after the vanity sign along Chicago's riverfront touched off a clash of giant egos with then Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Boo, Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah, not a fan of that, but he did at least, if there was one thing that it can at least go, okay, he did oppose that sign.
I know. He probably just didn't like Trump either. The ordinance states the sign permit, which must be renewed annually, should be denied or such a permit shall be revoked if the applicant or any controlling person of the applicant has been convicted of a crime of treason, sedition, or subversive activities. That means that the sign would have to come down if Trump is impeached for a second time. Uh-oh!
Oh, no.
This was written before he was impeached.
Because he's been impeached.
Yeah, and convicted of treason, sedition, and subservive... Okay, I'm not saying it the third time. Or if he's charged and convicted. So, that means it's probably coming down. But we don't know. He hasn't been convicted yet, right? He's just been impeached.
Well, he definitely was impeached. So let's see if that's enough for them to be able to pass this ordinance or be able to make this ordinance and get the sign, his name down. I mean, that would be...
He cited that Trump's encouragement of those who descended on Washington, D.C. to protest the certification of Joe Biden's election last week, then stormed the U.S. Capitol in a violent siege that left 5 people dead, including a Capitol Police officer. We had an insurrection taking place right in front of our eyes, led by a president who was inciting it. His speech saying it needs to be taken by force. Having the audacity to say they needed to march down the Capitol and he would be there, even though he did not lead the charge, Baez said.
No, he was nowhere near.
As a Marine, I take an oath to defend this country against enemies, foreign and domestic. That oath has no expiration date. I'm going to be damned if I allow that to happen in Chicago. Should there be no symbols or signs attributed to this person who leads an insurrection against the U.S. government? We just can't stand for that. Thank you, Baez. Baez has also drafted a second ordinance that would deprive any individual or company whose officials participated in the Capitol siege from doing business with the city. In 2014, developer Donald Trump got the last laugh in the sign controversy that threatened to turn Chicago's riverfront into a cheesy Midwest version of the Las Vegas Strip. At Emanuel's behest, the city council agreed to turn the riverfront from Kinsey Street all the way to the south to Roosevelt Road into a sign district similar to the one that shields Michigan Avenue from visual clutter. But the sharp limits on the sign, on the size, placement, and makeup of the future signs meant that the 2,890 square foot sign would have far less competition for the eye to see. That's why you like see it right there everywhere you go. It's like a fucking penis right there. I mean, you only see the Trump on one side. You don't see the Trump on the other side.
You definitely notice it. I mean, I notice it all the time northbound on Lakeshore Drive. I mean, you just,
You
know, see it right there.
You don't
there.
Really see it much like in Pilsen or like on like Logan. Like, you usually see the Sears Tower like everywhere in all directions. You see the Sears Tower, that's why it's so beautiful, because you can see that part of the city. But I just think, I mean, obviously, Rahm Emanuel's crackdown that helped promote, they think that. Did his crackdown indirectly help promote the Trump brand? I don't know. But this alderman says that he thinks it did. But maybe he doesn't like how many. So anyway. It says if they want to change the law from this day forward, that's up to the mayor, but you can't go back. It's the Hollywood sign of Chicago. People love it. People are taking pictures out there by the hundreds, Trump said. That's what he was saying before. Trump said it back in like, you know, he said that back when they actually put the sign up. He was like proud of it. He thought it was like the Hollywood sign. It's not compared to the Hollywood sign. The Hollywood sign has been there for hundreds of years.
If you remember, I mean, that's what kind of started everything, right? That was the first season of The Apprentice.
Was that when they started doing the hotel?
Yes. What's-her-face's husband won. He became the project manager of this building that they were going to build in Chicago. And that was it. Trump Tower. And that was the first episode of The Apprentice, what that was about. Them actually winning, a serious job. And then kind of from there, it also grew into then Celebrity Apprentice. And that's when it really got wacky and...
Well, you buy it. And then we all, learned that he like shit himself on the show.
Yeah, we all learned that he.
But I mean, if you guys want to answer the poll, you know, should the Trump sign in Chicago be taken down? I mean, that's only if he's been, obviously the alderman said that was because he's been impeached twice, which I think would be, you know, I think he already has. This has already been written like January 12th. So that was a few days before.
That was a few days ago. Yeah. Now, like we said, it's the 14th. So, I mean, if we're in the process of thinking of
it, it'll take a while to do that.
And other things that.
Do it. Do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he deserves to have.
Yeah. I don't think he deserves to have that, because he's already been banned from Twitter. He's already been banned from other social platforms, like a lot of other social platforms. So he can't. Because someone even was commenting, oh, why has he been so quiet? And I commented back, why is that a bad thing? Like, you should just enjoy it. I don't have Twitter. I've never owned Twitter. I don't think I still will have Twitter. I don't know. I'm a photographer, so I think Twitter for me is just weird. I can't keep up with that. I just don't really want to talk about things that much.
He's going to start Twitter. His own message board.
I think he'll just start his own website and then just do that. Because I think what he's going
to
try...
He's going to go back to MySpace?
I don't know what else he... Yeah, you said he had something else as a platform. Because I know that Caitlin Bennett is also leaving and going... She's leaving Liberty Hangout on YouTube. Because she thinks that YouTube has been... You know Caitlin Bennett, right? She was the gun girl. She had, like, a gun with her when she had a graduation picture.
Oh.
She was, like... She's worked for Liberty Hangout, and she's a right-wing... Like,
nut job.
Oh, she's not intelligent. They've seen her show. You should see her show on YouTube. It's really bad. She tries to argue with people, and she's just an idiot. But she's leaving YouTube because she thinks that YouTube's silencing them. And YouTube doesn't like them. And, you know, they're trying to silence them and censor them. Honey, it's YouTube. Granted, they have made some mistakes because they have let predators on use their platform, and they let people on their platform that are not too great and scam people. I mean, YouTube is, and it's led by a woman, a female CEO, which is very strange to me. Not because she's a female, but because she's letting this happen. I mean, they're trying to not take away freedom of speech for people.
It's a tricky situation, right? When you have, you know, especially we're learning that now.
Yeah. So, like, what constitutes you not having that platform anymore?
Is the responsibility of that platform?
If you use it to take advantage of children, whether it's them paying you money or looking at them or talking to them inappropriately, or if you're sexual assault.
In many states that are probably not advanced enough to catch up to the time as far as what is occurring as far as criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at what just happened on January 6th again, a lot of that looks like was probably pre-orchestrated and done via social media platforms. And again, what is their responsibility, the owners of those platforms, to allow this thing to occur?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that's weird. It's like internet law is so different than like regular.
There's not really much internet law, period.
Internet's not been around that long.
That's the thing. It's something that is not regulated. I mean, it's just still it's the wild, wild west out there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely a wild, wild west with the internet. I mean, I remember using AOL at like 9 or 10 years old and just wondering why it was created. I mean, it's just a totally different world. And there wasn't any censorship back then to have like kid settings. They didn't have kid settings until like 2000s where they were like, okay. And then they realized, adults can still go on kid sites and still try and talk to children. And that's how that still works. I mean, they think that, you're a kid, go to a kid site or kid group. Or whatever, a kid forum, and it's like,
yeah, they're still vulnerable and they need to be protected. And again, the laws are not advanced enough yet, I think, to be very effective.
With the amount of apps that are made a day.
Yeah, but you look
over at Silicon Valley over there.
Look at who's currently in holding a lot of office. I mean, sorry, but it's a lot of fuddy-duddy old dinosaurs that have been there since.
They're the ones that don't like Mark Zuckerberg, and they're upset they were the ones that took him into court and said, hey, why are you guys stealing people's data? And he's like, I'm not stealing people's data.
Yeah, why are you stealing data? Why are you allowing the Russians to freaking troll all these Americans, huh?
Wow. And it was like, but they also didn't understand the concept of Facebook, because they were like, oh, Facebook's free? Like, if it's free, like, don't you have to pay? Like, they didn't understand that
congressional hearing? So many of them were like,
half of it was just them asking how it works.
And how do you make money?
Yeah.
You don't charge?
Yeah. It's like, the Dow and the stock market. And that's how I make money.
Own it and
yeah, there's investors and
investors.
That's not what business is. It's a corporation. And I buy up other companies.
And I buy other companies.
And I'm a robot.
And I am a robot. No, oh, I mean, not that last part.
I mean, we can't make fun of Mark Zuckerberg. He's a genius. He's a genius. And I think a lot of the allegations against him have been wrong.
Yeah, like a lot of, you know,
yeah, he's a smart guy. Smart, he has not what. He does not want to be in the limelight.
No.
Leave him alone, please. We are on Facebook right now. You're listening, Mark. We love you.
Nah,
it's fine.
You
we like
robot.
You.
We are
we
robots
like you.
Too.
We like
right
you.
There, it froze.
Matthew,
oh.
We can hear you. That's why he's glitching.
That's why I glitched.
Yes. Okay. So my second topic is not about Trump. So I will probably change the.
No. No. Not know I had those screaming sound effects.
Let's talk about weed. All right.
Mary Jane.
All right. So now the next one is marijuana is replacing alcohol for nearly half of cannabis consumers during the pandemic. And this was actually written before the new year. So this is December 31st, which is funny because you and I were in Montana around that time and we were talking about how they were going to pass a law about, you know,
they now
being able to smoke marijuana, not being able to sell it.
Recreational,
yeah, that you can only buy it at, like, the dispensaries, but you can't be, like, growing it or anything yet, right?
No, you could grow it,
you can grow,
but
you can't
buy
it.
You would not be able to legally buy it from a brick-and-mortar store until the year 2022. But as of January 1st, 2021, in Montana, you could legally own, smoke, grow marijuana for either medicinal or recreational purposes.
So this is actually from Forbes magazine, or Forbes.com, sorry. And they were talking about almost half of cannabis consumers age 21 and up have been replaced or reduced their alcohol consumption with marijuana since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. And I also told you that there was like testing going on about how they thought it would help prevent the spread of it. Like if you were smoking it, you would actually, it would be freezing that bacteria. So I know that it can, in some amounts, some strains can freeze cancer cells, and that's why they give it cancer patients.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess as long as it's not puff pass to a bunch of strangers.
No, don't do that. Then you're getting COVID.
Yeah, then it's probably not a good
idea. Use your own joint. Use your own hitter.
But I imagine a lot of this right is taking place at. You know, I've seen a couple articles too where it mentions, yeah, specifically some of them talking about how parents are ditching the booze.
Yeah.
For,
I mean, they're smoking
Jane.
With their kid. I mean, if you have a kid that's over 21 and you're stuck together and you live together.
And so
I
many
mean,
more are
yeah.
living at home anymore.
And I've
let's
seen
be
friends
real,
do that.
Let's
I've
be
seen,
honest. I
I've
mean,
literally seen people like say, I'm going off alcohol. Like on Facebook, they say, I'm going off alcohol. I'm just going to smoke now. I mean, one of my friends actually started growing her own plants. Like, she only has two, like, maybe one or two plants.
No, you can.
Just for herself.
No, you can.
Yeah. So she started doing that, I think, maybe when the pandemic started. She was like, fuck it, I'm just going to grow my own weed. And before that, she did work at a dispensary. So, you know, she kind of, like, she studied and she learned by working at dispensaries, learning the strains. But I think that when you change your way of doing that, some people don't like to have a hangover in the morning. People don't like to always drink alcohol. I mean, you and I like beer, I like my tequila, but I'm not drinking it every day. I think it's fine. I just think that if you smoke, I think that is going to make you feel better. You can sleep better, you can eat better, and maybe it will help you with not getting sick. Because it does help you lose weight, and it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, again, medicinal, I would say, qualities to marijuana.
To smoking,
THC,
yeah.
To smoking.
And it says to conduct the poll, nearly 2,000 adults aged 21 and up were surveyed about their consumption habits since the beginning of COVID-19 outbreak earlier in 2020. Of those who said that they have ever used cannabis, 42% said that they either started or increased their consumption during the pandemic, while 45% said that they replaced or reduced alcohol use with cannabis. Since the start of the pandemic, we have seen an increase in new consumers at our dispensaries with more people exploring cannabis. Joe Bayern, president of Curaleaf, said in a press release, the liberalization of the plant and the increasing diversity amongst consumers who enjoy it will continue as general public become more interested in incorporating cannabis in their health and wellness routines. So I'll add more of it in here. There's a lot. I mean, it says that like parents also turning to pot, like you said. They said that there's like a poll. They took a poll, like a poll test, and yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty interesting. But I'll include that link in the Anchor podcast platform and in the video description. But they're saying that like a full glass of wine is like the equivalent to a couple days of smoking. So you could have that one glass of wine now, or you can have a couple days of smoking and feel great every day.
To get you by, I mean, I don't know.
Do you want to have the wine now and feel great now, or do you want to smoke for a couple days and feel great for a couple days? I mean, it's just, it's kind of a no-brainer, I think, for some people. Wine is good for you too, though. I mean,
no, or at least, you know, I just can't soak in Calgon, take me away.
What?
Don dish soap? No, those aren't good enough.
No! The pod, the Tide Pods, Tide or whatever? Okay, so I also wanted to end this podcast by talking about Outlaw Burger. We had Outlaw Burger a couple days ago. And we live in Rogers Park, so yeah, it's very, very good. I'm going to look up the address while Matt talks about it.
The one that we get from is currently in Evanston. Yeah, as we talk about, of course, as the name indicates, it's a burger joint. You know, if you ever like,
a lot of them.
If you ever like the idea of kind of that steak burger that's smashed instead of that preformed patty, something they just kind of throw on the grill and crush, you know, maybe like a steak burger or a smash burger a la, this is the joint for you. You know, we've had them a couple of times, and every time, I mean, I just love, I mean, the taste, the amount of food that you get is just, you know, it's off the charts.
I'll include it in the description, but Outlaw Burger is really good. I mean, they're Chicago, they're in Chicago, they're all over the state, you know, different towns. Yeah,
they're kind of
like how Smash Burger is.
Yeah, I would say, right, kind of the price points. Maybe
yeah, they're similar. Even the size of the burgers are similar.
Red Robin or something like that.
Yeah,
but
Red Robin's burgers are big, though.
Yeah,
these are a decent
these
size.
These are not
preform
patties.
Yeah.
Again, it's like, you know, Steak and Shake or the Smash Burger.
It's really good.
Yeah, you know, the sauce is great. You know, some of the drawbacks, right? If you get a burger, you don't necessarily get fries. You have to order those separately. You get a healthy amount, but it's still, like I said, it's.
I always cut mine in half just because I like to save it for the next day. But it's really good, like, for the next day. You can still heat it up and eat it, and it's delicious. And I would say it's like 3 to 4 money symbols. I mean, it's like high end. I think it's good, but I just wanted to shout out to them because their food is really good. And there's only like 5 different burgers that you can get, but they have like other apps.
You can build a burger too.
They
have a variety of buns and of course a multitude of toppings to choose from, but you know, some of their core burgers, like I said, it's the idea and the way they prepare the sandwich overall. It adds that quality.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we love you. We want to tell you that we love you, and please stay safe and wear a goddamn mask. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl.